So Mariah, lip syncing, huh?
Mariah does what she wants.
She's still beautiful.
I'm just going to let the audience sing.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome back and happy new year to you all. This is Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast. My name is Tom. I am your host, and I'm here with my fellow co-host, the fabulous, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And the one that we're going to miss dearly for the next 5 or 6 weeks, ladies and gentlemen.
Good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome to
The Dish.
Welcome. This is the first episode that we've all been together where we either... in a while, that we either had no guest or we were all in a room together, and we're going to be chiming in about all the good stuff that's been going on in the past week or even longer throughout the entire episode.
Good and not so good.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we might even call the idiots today. Who knows?
Girl.
We'll see how it goes throughout the episode, right? Because we got to call those fools. We love them so much. You know, it's a new year, so.
We got to wish them a happy new year.
Exactly. Exactly.
And they got to come up and see us sometime. We've been talking about this for months.
Well, you know, now that we're all a bit settled, I think that that needs to happen. So, Idiots Radio, whenever. Ray, Anthony, whenever. I'm just saying.
Just get in Schmo's car and come up.
Schmo will drive you, hands down. He will absolutely do it without even thinking about it.
So, guys, how was everybody's New Year's?
It was good. Well, I actually worked.
I did too. We worked together.
Yeah, we did. We worked there.
We worked there.
at Partners Cafe. We had a really great night. What's interesting about New Year's is that because it is New Year's, actually, in the state of Connecticut, it is one of the only times in where they let you stay open an hour later. And I'm not sure if that's only when the weekend is here or is it just...
No, it's on New Year's. Yeah. So that's why they say it's an hour later. So if it fell on a Monday... bars were allowed to stay open until 2 o'clock, but since it fell on a Saturday, we were open until 3 o'clock.
Right? So in previous years that I have worked, we've closed on time at 2 o'clock or chances are 2:15, because by that time the crowd is already dwindling. They think that, yeah, it's time to go home. And they go home.
Mm-hmm.
But
not this year.
No, this year.
It was great. It was a lot of fun.
We had an amazing crowd. It was awesome. We were busy. I did well.
Bernie made some great meatballs.
Yes, he did.
Those were really good.
They were good.
They were really good.
I didn't have any.
Oh, I had some. Thanks. I had a sandwich.
And I was starving too.
Oh, it was so
she was
great.
Running around like a chicken with her head cut off.
I know. Jose and I walked down to get something to eat, and I saw Tommy look over, and we got upstairs. I'm like, Tommy's going to be jealous. I was sitting up at the bar just eating meatballs.
I was so mad at him. I really was. I just wanted to like chop his head off.
It was a lot of fun. It was a good night. People were fun. Everyone was really festive. Mm-hmm. And it was very tamed. Like, there was only one drunk, obnoxious bitch there. That's it. That I saw.
Is this the same one that... You, come here!
Oh, yeah. She was a goddamn mess.
But here's what
they're
she
not
did.
Talking about me. Just so we're clear.
Oh, I was.
Ooh! You're in trouble now. No, so listen. So this one chick, right? She was okay, but she just kept yelling at me like... Excuse me, mister, nobody wants to buy me a drink. I'm like, why don't you buy yourself a drink?
Oh, yeah, that's the same person because she was bitching about that outside.
Oh, Lord have mercy, then yes. So she ends up coming up to the bar. She orders a shot and a bottled water because I told her, you know, there's a 2 minute minimum, whatever. And so she orders a shot and a bottled water and leaves me a $10 tip. She goes like, I told you I was going to take care of you. I might be a bitch, but I like you. I'm like,
what?
Oh, thanks.
That's
I went outside to have a cigarette.
She changed
like,
my tune quick, trust me.
Oh, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I went out around 2 o'clock to have a cigarette, and Dave came outside just, you know, to be like, fuck you.
Name drop.
Yeah, I was like, shit. And the whole time I'm like, just say not the name. And he came out, you know, just to be like, fuck you. And she's like, what did he say about me? Was he talking shit about me? I'm like, he wasn't even like anywhere near you, woman. Like, relax, relax.
Oh, she probably didn't even know that he was the owner, so. Yeah, but, you know, it is. So, Trish, how was your New Year's?
Actually, I didn't work this year. Chris took my
Your spot.
Yeah, my spot.
Yeah.
That little bitch, whatever, she needs the money, she's going away.
Exactly.
Love you.
But it was weird. I was on a date, I think.
You think?
Yeah.
Guess
people.
Guess what the name is? Dun, 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 dun.
At least I didn't kiss my ex, Steve. All right, it was a new Steve.
But he watched it.
He did watch it.
Oh, shit, we're talking about him on the show again. That's not supposed to happen.
Whatever.
Well,
it is
what
it is.
When we say Steve, it could be a million Steves.
It's true.
Literally, he's
I know them all.
Been with every single one of them.
Uber driver.
But Steve, yeah.
I actually had a really, really good time.
What did
I was
you get?
Really
Vodka and candy canes?
No, that was in Florida.
Yeah, that was a different Uber driver.
But no,
it's Stevens and Uber drivers.
I know. They all get it. But I went over. This person cooked me dinner, and we had a great time. We went out for a little bit, and we went home pretty early, actually.
Yeah, you guys left early. Did you do it?
That's none of your business.
Oh, come on.
No.
You're such a prude when you don't need to be.
Mm.
That's very true.
And an unprude when she needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I make bad decisions.
You do.
So
it's okay.
I'm trying to take it slow.
I told her she was puffy today, and forget it. The wrath of fucking Nick came down upon me in my kitchen today.
So. I'm trying to take it slow. And I even said to Sarah, who's been on the show before, I was like, she asked me some questions and I told her, you know, whatever. She's like, oh, you actually like him. I'm like, maybe. I don't know. Who knows?
One never knows. Hey, listen, if it's got a bank account and it's stable. And
Jesus Christ.
It moves and he can get it up. Yeah, it's viable. We'll
that's
do it.
That's the bank account, definitely the thing. Because I said to Nick, I'm like, oh, so who do you want me to get you while I'm out in Europe? And he's like, anything 2 carats or more will be fine. It's like, well, I should have expected that answer.
That's how we do it.
You know, it is what it is.
No, but you know, overall, I think it was one of my better ones, even though I was working and running around. At the end of the night, you know, I stuck around and we had a drink and.
Drink. I didn't get home till like 6 a.m.
Oh my god, you guys were there that late.
Well,
we came back here, and you know,
well, yeah, of course,
that late.
Yeah, we were partying all night.
Yeah, so you know, we got to do it up because you know, once you're done at the bar and you clean up and you go, you got to go somewhere and wind down. So we came over and we had cocktails.
And then I stopped at Walgreens or made my Uber driver because I was not driving.
Well, I was your Uber driver for the first half of that.
Well, I know. But the way home, I had to stop at Walgreens to get some fucking White Castle fucking steam burgers.
Oh my God, that's so gross.
They're so good, okay, but they give me such chits the next morning. It's so bad.
So I have to confess. So I'm a big boy. There's no hiding that. But I've been trying to do well, and I'm trying to lose weight and doing all that good stuff. And it's not a New Year's resolution. This is something that's been ongoing. I don't do those because nobody fucking keeps those anyway. But I walk into Walgreens, and we're going down the aisles, and I grab like 4 cheeses, like 4 sticks of cheese, a bag of Doritos. I grabbed, wait, what else did I get? Slim Jim. And a pack of honey roasted peanuts.
You had so much shit.
And I am like a little, I was like the happiest boy on earth running around that store just grabbing snacks because I was just fucking hungry. Because this bitch ate all the meatballs.
Sorry, not sorry.
If it's meat and balls, she's going to put it in her mouth.
That's true.
Well, that's true.
That mm-hmm. is true.
Right.
Especially the balls. I'm a balls guy.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. When they're perfectly round and they taste good and they're smothered in sauce, go for it.
Can we talk about, did anybody watch, oh, you guys were working, but Anderson Cooper and Kathy Griffin?
I love Anderson Cooper. I love them. No, I didn't see anything.
Okay. I love them too, but the whole time, all I could think about was our show because Kathy Griffin would just tear apart Anderson Cooper the whole time. She was just like, oh no, you're cheap. Whatever, she would just like come at him every single time, and I'm like, oh, we all try to have civilized conversations, and I'm like, Tommy, you're gross. You know what I mean? Like, like,
or Nick, you're a whore.
But yeah, basically.
I'll tell you though, although he's very like shy-ish and he's very composed, and she's just so outrageous and out there. That chemistry is amazing.
Oh, they're
been
yeah,
doing
they're,
it over and over again.
It's
for
10 years.
10 years.
Yeah,
now?
10 years this year.
Stop.
That's, yeah.
Really? I didn't know it was that long.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're part of the.
And if you go back. 10 years, every year, Anderson Cooper is wearing the same sweater.
Oh, calling her out.
No, she said it. Anderson Cooper said it. He's like, I'm wearing the same sweater in all those photos. Like, I clearly am cheap.
Where are all the gays? No one's calling me out on this shit?
Doesn't matter. He still looks good.
Oh, he's fucking sexy. Yeah. He's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautifus. Ooh, he's beautiful.
Beautifus. No, but seriously, but I can't believe it's been 10 years. Because that's Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve, right? Is that what it's called? And they do like the pre-show to the countdown.
I thought Dick Clark was Ryan Seacrest.
I don't know. I don't
watch it. Yeah, it is. So, no, this is not the Dick Clark one.
Okay, so it's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, either way, it's Anderson Cooper and our goddess, because she's just amazing and we love her because she mm-hmm. loves all her gays. But, you know, it's she's living her life on the D-list.
Yeah, Kathy Griffin threw him under the bus and was like, so you want to talk about your Instagram photos of you with no clothes on washing an elephant? And he was like, oh, yeah, I knew you were going to bring that up. And then they put it up and I was sitting with my date and he was like, oh my God, it's on the TV. I was actually doing dishes and he was watching. He's like, oh my God, he's so beautiful.
He is. He's fucking
just
gorgeous.
So hot.
He is. But you know what? You know what I love about him? That he was the jump in and do journalism like it should be done. Mm-hmm. With no holds bar, he would go to countries that people wouldn't even dare go to and do his job.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't have to do any of this. He just loves it. He's completely dedicated to it. And, like, you know, he came from probably one of the most well-off families ever.
Well, hello, mm-hmm. the Vanderbilts.
Yeah, exactly. But that's exactly my point. He doesn't have to work, essentially, but he just loves it. He loves it. He's good at it, and he's real. And that's what I respect about him
so
much.
One of the things...
And this hair.
Oh, and that hair. I mean, are you kidding me? That white hair is legendary at this mm-hmm. point. I mean, there's a couple of people when you say, okay, talk about a man with white hair. Give me some names. There are like three that come to mind. The first one is Sean Connery. He's the original, like...
Silver Fox.
Oh, my God, man. That man, even now, he still fucking looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Pierce Brosnan.
Brosnan.
Brosnan. In his later years with his white hair looks amazing.
He doesn't have white hair.
Yeah, I was like, he doesn't have white hair.
Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Look at him now.
Are we talking white like Anderson Cooper white?
No white, salt and pepper. But then
there's a difference.
Well, but it's still white. There's
I'm
white
salt
in there.
And pepper in. Not much, but it's coming. Yeah. I'm praying for it. I love it.
So am I. I'm like, I'm still fucking dark. I have like two little spots here and there. And then there's Anderson Cooper. And you're like, holy shit. I mean, the man, he's just gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. He really is. I mean,
seriously,
just nothing else needs to be said.
Exactly. So with that being said, let's move on to another anchor doing a little New Year's Eve hosting of his own.
Ooh.
Oh, my God. Brooke Baldwin, if I was into women, you would be I would go after you. You're beautiful, Brooke. Brooke and Don Lemon were in New Orleans.
Wait, Brooke Baldwin?
Brooke Baldwin, CNN
is
anchor.
Is she a daughter to one of the Baldwins or something?
I don't think there's any relation. Actually, I don't know. I shouldn't say I don't think. I really don't know, but
because,
she's
awesome. You know, all these guys have daughters, and they're absolutely gorgeous. I mean, when you look at, what's his name, from Aerosmith, his daughter, Tyler.
Tyler, yeah.
Oh, my God, that woman is gorgeous.
Yeah, she is.
And when she played the part in Lord of the Rings, she was absolutely stunning in that.
See, I connect with her from The Strangers, and she got fucked up at the end of that movie.
And
spoiler.
What was the other movie that she came out with where they went into space and they blew up the comet? Armageddon.
Oh,
my God. She was her crying on the TV screen.
Leaving I could just on a jet plane. Don't. Oh, Chris. He's leaving on a jet plane.
I am. But Don Lemon. I don't want to lose this one. I fucking love Don Lemon. I think he's a great reporter. And he and Brooke Baldwin were in New Orleans. And I think it was like, 9 o'clock. Like they were saying like, oh, we still have 3 hours to go. And he's doing shots of tequila. And he got fucking bombed.
Yeah, he did.
And
they pulled the plug on the show.
Because he said he said that 2016 was awful. And right after that, CNN pulled the freaking plug on that. It's like, ooh, Don.
But
he's in trouble.
Don, darling, was he lying?
No.
2016 was...
He was being a real reporter. He was telling the truth.
Well, sometimes the truth a little too much.
Well,
the truth.
The tequila did that.
Yeah. Well,
Brooke was like, "Oh no, 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 no! You need to slow down." He's like, "Yes, fine, it's fine."
Speaking of tequila,
and he was reporting in cursive.
Brooke was like, "I can smell the tequila coming off of you."
He was speaking in cursive, and it's fucking.
We should invite him on our show. I think he would do great.
Don Lemon,
let's do it. Let's reach out.
We'll have
to
plenty
his
of tequila for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Seriously, let's reach out to his people and see what we can do.
Why Sounds not? Good.
Hell, but speaking of tequila and cocktails, what are we doing for our cocktail today?
Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, I'm gonna
You're gonna
talk
do it today.
Okay, yeah, so today we are doing the we're doing a maple bourbon Manhattan in honor of Chris. We're allowing him to have bourbon.
Yeah,
and it's a maple bourbon because, of course, Canada. So maple bourbon. My favorite is Tap 371. It's really, really good. It's
Canadian.
Yep.
But rye. It's actually rye, just so you know. You brought rye.
Okay.
Fine, Christopher.
You know, it was not made in Bourbon County.
She's been on me since I got here. I mean,
that's
I
what she said.
Cocktails rye.
Isn't that what you've wanted all this time? For him to be on you?
No. I'm all set, honey.
She's got her man.
I don't really care.
She's got Steven.
But anyway, it's maple bourbon, bitters, and
dry.
You know what, Chris?
I'm sorry.
No, you tell us how to make it. Go for it.
I don't know. I didn't make it.
No, well, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right, so you go ahead and you get this fine Canadian maple rye. Sweet vermouth and some bitters. You dash the bitters over the ice because we were serving them on the rocks. Dash the bitters over the ice at about 3/4 ounce of sweet vermouth, and then add another 2 ounces on top of that, 2 1/4 ounces, make it 3, of this delicious Canadian maple rye.
Yes.
There you go. Stir it up. You're good to go.
Proud of you.
And
you did a good job.
An instant cocktail. So what are we calling this?
It's a maple bourbon Manhattan.
Thank you. I just wanted to sort of kind of repeat that. So, speaking of bourbon and rye and all that good stuff, I learned something interesting last week. Actually, or was it last week or the week before last from Chris? He looks at the bottle of bitters and he goes, you know, this is like 54% alcohol.
44.
Right? 44. I was like, it's got more fucking alcohol than your average beer. And you only like dash it in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the thing I pointed out to you, you're going to say it?
If I were an alcoholic, I'd probably rip that fucking top off and just guzzle.
But you know what's interesting about it? It's in grocery stores in the bar mixes aisle. You don't get ID'd for it. But you don't get ID'd for rubbing alcohol, which is basically pure alcohol. But yeah, bitters are nearly half alcohol. And anyone can just buy it.
I mean, holy shit. That was interesting. So I was like, okay, well, mm-hmm. I got schooled 2 weeks ago. Or like, was it last week or the week before?
It was last week.
Actually, okay. Is it half alcohol?
44.5% alcohol by volume.
By volume, right. So when you look, so there's like 151 mm-hmm. is the same thing, but now we're past the 100% mark, right? We're at 151%.
No, so it's 151 proof.
Yes.
Okay.
Proof is double. So when something like if something is 100% alcohol, it's 200 proof. So when it's 20% alcohol, it's 10 proof.
Got to ask the pro.
As you know, she's an alcoholic. That one
I've never understood that.
Well, I just explained
it
for you.
I could have googled it, but whatever.
Well, I mean, and now we know, and knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe.
Ba-da-bun.
American heroes. No, I'm kidding.
You'd be more like G.I. Jose.
Oh, Jose was a mess last week. So we had a guest host last week.
He was so much fun. Okay,
throw him under the bus.
Just a little bit. You got to understand, I love Jose to death.
Who's Jose? You had Joe on.
Joe. We try to Americanize his name. So instead of Jose, we call him Joe. Joe Vasquez. Yes, queen. Anyway, so we had him on the show. And I love Joe because Joe and I have been really good friends for like ever. And he sounded like literally he swallowed like 2 gallons of cum. And he was gurgling into the microphone.
He was a gurgler. He's like, bow, bow, bow.
I thought it was amazing, but I love him dearly. And he did well. And we thank him for coming on the show.
I also need to say something about last week's episode.
Uh-oh.
What?
Everybody Loves Raymond is about an Italian fucking family, you assholes.
What do we say?
Say that.
You didn't even know what the hell it was.
I never watched
it. That.
But you guys brought it up.
I didn't bring it up.
That.
I said it via text message, but I didn't say it on the show.
I don't even remember this conversation. oh my God, I got super wasted when I left here. I went out for Mexican food. Forgot about that. That's why.
How do you get wasted on Mexican food?
Because I had like 12 margaritas. No, I had like six. I had three.
So it wasn't really Mexican food you had. You had Mexican liquor.
But I ate dinner too. I just happened to drink.
Oh, I'm so glad you're there. So, no. So listen, anyway, back to Joe.
Also, Richard Simmons has a fro. I've got a couple here. It's not Snipe. It's Snape. Severus Snape.
Look at her.
I'm sorry.
Who said Snipe? No one said Snipe.
Somebody did.
It was probably
Chris. She fucking took notes on
shit. I took notes while I was listening to the show last week because I'm sorry. It was kind of a hot mess. I love you both.
You're a hot mess.
We're going to let me correct this really quick. She talks about hot mess. Half the time, she is the hot mess on the show. She's the reason
why
some people would say hot mess. She gives hot mess a definition. Mm. Let's not go there.
Ooh.
But I love you, though. Anyway, that last week's show was amazing. Thank you very much, if I thought so myself, because she wasn't here. She was sitting in sunny Florida, which we've got on our notes to talk about right now. So how was freaking Florida? And your Uber driver with freaking candy canes and vodka.
That was a different trip to Florida, Tommy.
Yeah, that was the first trip.
I'm not saying that last week's episode wasn't good. I'm just saying that there were some things that you needed a fact check for.
We're done.
Oh, whatever.
Anyway, so how was your trip to Florida to see your family this time around?
It was fine. It was good. I got to see everybody. We ate a lot, drank a lot, had a good time. Nothing really to report. I broke my brother's finger, but, you know.
Wait, what? I didn't hear about this one.
Right? So I knew that there was so much. So evidently, Nick gets very, very violent, and he broke his brother's finger. I'm kidding.
That is not what happened.
Okay, then tell us. See, I'm trying to probe him here.
So we all went out, and my brother got pretty drunk and started a fight with somebody, and I had to break it up. And when in pulling my brother off said person, I picked him up and I threw him on the floor. And at some point, he smashed his finger.
Wait, like a real fight? Like he actually got in a bar fight with someone?
Well, he tried to.
And they threw him down.
Yeah. Have you ever seen somebody drunk trying to throw a punch and they just do a 360? Because that's what he was doing.
And then Trish is like, I'm taking my heels off and I'm breaking this shit up.
I didn't take my heels off. I left those motherfuckers on. Are you kidding me? I didn't even take my earrings out, girl. I just picked him up and threw him down. Please.
That's a true diva.
But let's just say that everybody was making, my entire family was making fun of my brother because he got beat up by his younger gay brother.
Chris, we love you. And Chris has been with us before when we had your sister come on.
His brother's name is Chris.
Yeah. Amanda came on the show, and she was visiting from Hawaii, which she no longer lives in Hawaii now. Now she's in Florida. But she had come on the show, and Chris was here with us in studio that day as well. And he's such an amazing kid.
I have such a great family. I mean, we were with our cousins. We never see each other. We just, you know, had fun. And Chris just got a little crazy.
You have about the most lovable Your family, okay, let me rephrase this. Your family is the most lovable Trump supporters I have ever met.
Well, Chris didn't vote for Trump.
Okay. I love you, Chris.
And somebody else in my family didn't vote for Trump, but I'm not allowed to say it on air.
Okay.
Because my family can't know.
Okay, love that. Love that one, too.
But at the same token, we didn't really talk about politics. It was one of the things. While I was down there, we had a few moments, and it would be like, okay, let's all take 5 minutes and walk away and come back. But my dad, by the end of my trip, did admit that he's a little concerned about Trump, and Trump needs to pull himself together because these tweets that he keeps firing off are just make him look like an asshole.
That New Year's one was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
The UN one, the one about the nukes.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. It's just one after the next. He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about, and he's tweeting out these things that make him look so horrible. Like, what does the UN do? Screw you. Are you kidding me? And then the UN's response was like the best response that they could have done. They actually responded to the tweet with like a bullet point of all the things that they do on a daily basis to support the world. So fuck you, Trump. Do some research before you do something like fire off a tweet.
You know what? He's
act like the fucking president elect.
Exactly.
Act like the president elect.
Mm-hmm. But so, yeah. It was interesting to be around Trump supporters the entire time. I actually sat down and had a conversation with my sister about it because it really bothered me that she voted for Trump because she's my sister and for lack of a better term, my person, my biggest fan, the person I always go to, and it really hurt me when she voted for him. So in conversation with her, you know, I had the chance to educate her on why I felt so strongly about it, and it enlightened her in a way. She still feels the way that she feels, and that's fine. But it made me feel better that we could have an open, honest conversation without fighting. So,
and that's the important thing. And, you know, as much as we talk about on the show, oh, how we hate Trump and their supporters are deplorables, let's just say the majority of them are. But there are certain few that, unfortunately, you know, you have to reconcile the fact that they have a right to vote for who they wanted to vote for. And our responsibility is just to make sure that if they did vote for the individual that we're talking about, is that their vote was informed. And that's the problem, is that a lot of people went in blind and didn't.
Well, they
don't even know what's going to hit them.
No. People are learning what's going to hit them. There are all these coal miners that voted for Donald Trump are now freaking out because they're going to lose their benefits if Obamacare is repealed.
Right.
Which, you know, next week, Barack Obama's meeting with Democrats to discuss how to keep things going. And Mike Pence is meeting the same day, the same time with the GOP senator or people in the houses to discuss how to repeal it. So these people that voted for this man are now shitting their pants, or their depends, that's going to get taken from them because they can't afford it, and their insurance is going to get pulled too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, people are starting to realize what they did, yeah, that I'm fucked up.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've said this before, but I really hope that the GOP, Pence, and Trump, I hope that they, if they do repeal it, which I'm sure they're going to try, they repeal it with a separate plan in place, because there are a lot of people that are going to suffer if they just straight up repeal it.
Well, I mean, they
20 million Americans.
Yeah, exactly. And they need to have a game plan. You know, if you're going to say, hey, listen, this isn't working, we need to address this and we need to make sure that this gets taken care of, then okay, tell me what you're
going to
do.
They did not just say they're going to repeal and I'm just putting this in their court. They said repeal and replace. So, but they haven't given us a plan. Like, well, just that, like his thing with ISIS. He's like, I have a plan to take care of ISIS, but I won't tell you.
Yeah.
Like, so who knows what it is if they're going to be replaced.
They'll repeal it and replace it, except for it won't cover LGBT people, probably.
Oh, definitely not. Well, I mean,
we had breaking news from CNN today where...
With Texas?
Yeah, you want to talk about
it? No, go ahead. With the transgender protections.
Well, yeah, they went ahead and, you know, they pretty much came against a decision that was made because of the fact that there were transgendered people being covered under that clause. And so the federal judge just said, no, this is not going to fly. A day before it went effective. It was supposed to go effective tomorrow.
I'm not sure the exact date.
But what ended up happening is there was a provision in the Affordable Care Act that the state of Texas said, we can't do this.
Due to religious freedoms for the doctors
and all that
bullshit.
You know what? Whatever. I'm like, I can't deal with these people. I can't. Texas, why are you even... Aren't you supposed to be like the Lone Star State?
But wasn't it Texas that they put an injunction on the minimum wage law that passed as well?
Texas is the one that does everything.
So, yeah.
California is like at the forefront of any movement, and Texas just ass backwards.
Well...
And you know what really bugs me is that the majority of the people live in Texas are Latinos.
The majority?
The majority of the people that live in the southern part of Texas, like if you look at cities like Austin, you look at cities like...
You also take into account the majority of those people are probably illegal. I wouldn't say the majority, but a decent percentage probably.
I would say a decent percentage.
Which doesn't really give them a voice.
But that, of course, is, and that would be true for a lot of the states that are, you know, run across the border. But the thing is, it's whether they have a voice or not, usually when you have that large number of, like, people congregating in one area, your social movements tend to move towards favoring that type of, you know, ideology. And that's not happening in Texas. It's completely different.
Right.
You know, and I think that it's oil money talking.
Well, yeah, it's the rich white men. That's the ones who are running that land.
So anyway, so Chris, you're going to Germany in 2 days, and we're so happy for you because I said this before, this is a great opportunity for you, but we're going to miss you. So tell us what's going to go on in Germany.
Yeah, actually, I'm really grateful. You guys are going to be the last to see me. You guys are bringing me to the airport. I'm flying out on Wednesday. Going to fly into Poland and then hang out in Munich. I'll be there a couple days ahead of time. My class, I start studying the following week. I am going to Salzburg on Austria and on Saturday, you know, go see Mozart's house or birth house and spend some time in that beautiful city. And then I'm going to be studying for a month, meeting up with some friends, hopefully Hans, hopefully we'll be able to meet up with you, possibly going to Switzerland, looking at maybe going to Denmark. I was looking at flights to go to Southampton, England on one of the weekends, and I'm just going to, it's going to be a really good experience. I'm going to study the language I've always wanted to learn. I'm going to really learn to be out on my own kind of thing.
She's going to be worldly.
Yeah.
Yes, queen. No, I mean, I think this is such a great opportunity, and I'm really happy that, you know, because when you go away to countries that you're not from, you tend to be nervous and scared, and I'm really happy that you didn't let fear take the best part of this experience, and you're really diving in, and you're going to go and do it, because you're going to be in a foreign country by yourself. I mean, you have friends that you've met the last time you went in, but you're going to be out there for 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this is going to be an amazing experience.
It is. I really am going to be out on my own. Like you said, you know, I met friends last time, and of course, Renee is out there. But I'm really going on my own.
Every time I think of you out there, I think of you walking into that store and buying your Lederhosen. But I think about have you ever seen the movie Last Holiday with Queen Latifah?
No.
Well, I love Queen Latifah, but she walks in, she goes away on her last holiday because she was dying. Turns out she's not dying, but she walks into this like boutique store and they were like, well, what can we do for you? And she's like, honey, make me international. And I just like see Chris walking into this Lederhosen store being like, I want to be German.
Like, make me the ultimate German boy. Shoes and all.
A guy at work today stopped at my restaurant to pick up the last check and everything. And he was like, you're going to come back all cultured and everything? You're already cultured. It pisses me off.
You're cultured because you are aware and you pay attention and you try to learn right. about international issues instead of being so pigeonholed in America like most Americans are, including myself. I've recently had to start reaching out and learning about international issues because there's a lot I don't know.
And we're one world. We're all humans. We're, at the end of the day, we're one massive community. And we have to work together. And
but we're so consumed with what's happening around us that we don't realize what's really happening around us,
right?
Further outside of that radius that we're accustomed to. Which is why I'm thankful that our listener ended up reaching out to us and said, "Hey guys, you know, you may want to start bringing stuff up that happens internationally." So I mean, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to have some like amazing material because you're going to be calling us and giving us all the details of what's going on
as best as I can. Yeah,
and
for that other person who reached out to us, I'm going to be studying in Munich. So any people we have in Munich, any listeners we have in Munich, or for that individual who reached out to us, it'd be, you know, great to, you know, send some more emails, Skype in when we call in, or get a coffee or something.
Chris is also on he's on Facebook, so if you can reach out to him on Facebook. You can go right to our website, which is gaytalk20.com, and under contact us you have the cast. You can click on Chris. All of his Facebook information is there. You can send him a message if you guys want to, you know, reach out to him and say, hey, listen, welcome to Germany. You want to be his tour guide and show him around
show
on weekends?
Around. I want to go to Berlin. I haven't been to Berlin. So anyone in Berlin that listens and wants to help show me around, I'll try to make it up there for a weekend.
He's actually very nice. You would enjoy him. Just don't give him too much bourbon.
Oh, my God.
He's actually very nice.
I just like to drink.
Yeah, just don't give him too much bourbon because then you're going to be carrying him all over Berlin.
I will crawl. I am a champion.
Well, you can put like inline skates.
He'll take micro naps, kind of like when Tommy reads.
Exactly.
Crawls 2 feet, passes out. Crawls two more, passes out.
Screw it, just carry me. Just throw me over the shoulder. It'll be that much easier.
That's crazy. So listen, we're going to move into our break. So we're going to jump into Angels and Assholes. And then when we come back, we have a lot more stories to cover. And also, we're going to call our friends the Idiots at the Idiots Radio. So let me give Trish some love.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, darling. That's
drop this down a bit?
Yes, Queen. All right, so the following senators from the state of Tennessee, Lamar Alexander, Republican, and Bob Corker, Republican, voted no to common sense gun control reform. For their inaction, we label them assholes.
Ooh, good to get that out of the way. And for this particular episode, we're going to dedicate it to Gilberto Ramon Silva Menendez. He was a 25-year-old from Orlando. Gilberto was studying healthcare management at Ana G. Mendez University, the Orlando campus. Silva grew up in Manatí, Puerto Rico, and moved to Orlando a few years ago. According to Irma Silva, another cousin, he was the... Chris, Nick, what did you write here? Okay, so anyway.
Oh, it's a quote.
That was basically what Irma was saying about her cousin.
And then
his
another
older brother.
No.
Wait.
Another cousin. He is my older brother's only child.
Thank you. And he was the light in the life of all of the family gatherings. This all feels like a dream, is what she was saying. And I am going to wake up and he is going to be texting me, calling me and saying that he's okay. Wrote his cousin in a message to the Orlando Sentinel. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional here. He was a dedicated man with great dreams of helping people in need and the desire of becoming a healthcare professional. He carried a positive and a contagious attitude towards life, said Maricely Alomar, a counselor at the school. We'd like to dedicate this episode to him. Again, his name is Gilberto Ramon Silva Menendez. May he rest in peace. We're going to take a break. We'll leave you with Pulse by Melissa Etheridge, and we'll be back. Who you gonna hate now? When there's no one left but you, who are you gonna gun down? If you can't kill the truth, that it's inside of us, it's inside our blood, it's inside of Pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win, underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. That was Pulse by Melissa Etheridge. You know, it's such a beautiful song, and it really talks to the heart of what it was that our community felt when all of this happened, sadly, on June 12th, 2016.
I love that bitch.
I love her. She's amazing.
She's awesome.
Are you kidding me? She's great. And she's going to Cuba. She's trying to
really
organize this whole thing, and people can get a package, and you can go see her sing in Cuba, and you can stay in Cuba. It's like this whole big thing.
Awesome. Ooh. So, I love her.
I just think that, you know what?
It's going to happen. We talk to
I can't wait for her to be sitting next to me in the studio.
Ooh. It's going
to
be great.
Fabulous. She's sitting right here. We're going to share a chair.
If she touches you.
Well,
Nick, I think that's the one person you don't have to worry about that
you
way.
You probably, like, you know, like, share, because you do the oboe, right? Is that what you
have? Yeah.
And then she can get her guitar, and we can just have a
I'll bring my flute.
He definitely does his oboe. Yes, he does.
Yeah. Oh, I know. So listen.
On my sax.
Coming
saxophone.
Back,
saxophone. Not sax. I was like, wait
sax,
a minute.
Sax?
It was either sex or sack. So I'm like, saxophone.
I can't wait.
I just say all three.
It's like,
you do all three.
Sex, sax, and sack.
Yep. Sax.
Sax.
Sax with a C?
This is all vodka. We moved on to a different drink, and it's like all vodka.
My bad.
Focus.
I don't bartend more often. I don't bartend that often.
Oh, my God. Well, no. Well, he's been drinking for like 900 days straight.
But... Yeah, you know what? I've been on vacation. Leave me alone.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But anyway, last week we did an episode, and we talked about a lot of the biggest news of 2016. Thank God that year is over. And we also talked about a lot of people that we lost, but we realized that right after that episode, you know, unfortunately, Carrie Fisher passed away even after having that heart attack. And it was sad, but sadder even more was that not even 24 hours later, her mother, who also suffered some sort of
stroke,
ended up in the hospital and also passed away the very next day. So
that's crazy.
I was like, holy shit.
Goes to prove you can die from a broken heart.
Really crazy in my personal life. So when I was in Florida, my roommate, who's also been on the show, Pat, his stepfather passed away. And so I came back on Friday and we had his funeral. And then that day, my roommate's boyfriend was there and he left to go see his grandmother, who he found face down.
Oh, my
dead.
God.
Isn't that crazy?
That is horrible.
It's insane.
So they both went through something tragic.
And now, that's what I said to Pat. I'm like, Pat, you're screwed. You're not getting out of this relationship. You know why? Once you go through something like that with somebody...
And if they're extremely supportive with each other, you're right.
He was at the funeral before me and Pat were.
Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe he may not want to. You know, get away from that relationship.
No, I don't think he does, and I think I don't want him to. I like this guy. Yeah. I think it's good for him.
Oh my God, when Nick likes somebody, you better make sure you keep him. Get that ball and chain. Get that ball and chain.
I'm a good judge of character. I will say that.
You yeah, are. You
He's
are.
Sitting in this
you
room, are. And I'm a great guy, so I know.
You both are.
Oh, thank you.
I love you both.
Oh, I love Aww. You too, honey.
Even though I slammed you a little bit earlier, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you did.
But as far as I'm concerned, I'm a fucking delight.
You're an asshole too.
So listen, we've got rest in peace, Debbie Reynolds and
Carrie Fisher.
Obviously Carrie Fisher. It's a tremendous loss, and especially because I'm a huge Star Wars fan. And my first question as soon as I heard the news was like, oh my God, did she finish recording or shooting episode 8? And she did. So I'm going to really look forward to watching this upcoming movie in December.
Well, the biggest news of 2017 is Tommy is taking her place in the following movie.
I am?
You are.
Oh my God, do I get to wear the bun?
You do.
Oh yeah, I already have two buns. This is great.
That's going to have four.
So listen, we're supposed to call the Idiots Radio, but they're on break. So we have a couple of more minutes for some stories. So let's start with Chris.
Shit, I knew you were going to go to me first. Wow. I got to scroll.
Well, if Nick is ready, he can go. Nick?
Let's talk about the Phoebe of the year.
Oh, yes. I was waiting to burn this bitch.
So the Phoebe of the year this year from The Advocate magazine is none other than Pat McCrory.
Fuck her.
Can I fuck her.
Okay. Ugh. Can I stop 1 second?
Yes.
What's a Phoebe of the year? You got to understand.
It's basically it's the worst person of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Why Phoebe, though? You know, Phoebe was like the best character in Friends. Why would you name something like that Phoebe?
I'm going to be honest with you.
Why don't you call it the Trump of the year?
And why do you spell it like that?
I don't know. But let me, honestly, I was doing research on it and I couldn't figure out why they came up with Phoebe. And I'm going to continue to look into it and I will come back to you guys with that.
And I love you for it, but can we just call it the Trump of the year?
Fine. Sure.
It's the Phoebe of the year.
It's the Phoebe of the year.
No, we
yeah.
can, Tommy. No.
Yeah.
Fine.
Because,
I love you, though. Thank you.
But anyway, so
Pat McCrory.
Ugh. speak your truth, Chris. I really put this in here because I knew you could just take it and run with it.
Well, it's just the fact that he's doing, you know, it's a typical fucking GOP governor. He's limiting power of the person who's taking over, trying to set in laws any way to keep progress coming for the state of North Carolina.
But I will say this. These were the same exact powers that were given to him when he was elected governor of that state.
That now he's trying to take away.
He's trying to take away.
Yeah. Oh, no, of course.
It is bullshit.
It's because he's a sore fucking loser. Look, we understand it. Our candidate lost an election.
And we're all sore fucking losers.
And we're still here.
We suffered that. I have to tell you.
Our candidate didn't lose. Let's be honest.
Out of all of the shows that we did, I think that for me, the most hurtful one emotionally was the election episode.
Without a doubt, I was crying in your kitchen before the results were even in. Yeah. I'm like, no, this is over.
Chris and I still haven't listened to it. We were like,
I will not.
We can't because we, by the end of that episode, me and Chris were like so silent. And so, well, we all were pretty freaking emotional. We were just like, we're seeing all this come in and we're just like, this is happening.
It was bad. It was really bad.
I didn't even speak in like the last segment of it. I'm like, I'm done.
You know, there was a couple of people that really thanked us because they said, you know, listening to that episode and just knowing that someone else out there was really sharing our pain, our disdain for this lunatic that we are about to inaugurate on the 21st. This is just scary.
Somebody posted something about electoral college math. I don't know if you guys saw it. Did you guys see it?
About how every Californian is worth 2/3 less than someone in like...
The population of California is 38,800,000. The population of Wyoming is 584,153. California has 55 electoral votes. Wyoming only has 3 votes. It takes 700,454 Californians to equal 1 electoral vote. It takes 194,717 Wyoming votes to equal 1 electoral vote. That makes every vote from Wyoming worth 362% more, 362% of what each vote from California is worth in the election, in the presidential election of the United States of America.
Talk about fair.
Yeah, the Electoral College, it needs to be reformed. I don't think that it's something that needs to be abolished. I really don't.
I agree.
Because there is an importance with the Electoral College, but I think there needs to be some kind of reform with that. And I don't know. I don't know the answer for the reform.
But that's why I'm saying, you know, when people come up to me and they're telling me that, you know, the Electoral College is there for smaller populated states, you're right. It is, correct? That's why they put it in place. One of the reasons they put it in place.
Oh, one of them. And the other one was to make sure that people like Donald Trump didn't get elected into office.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, it failed in that aspect, but it worked very well in the other one.
It failed in that aspect because of how it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
Because votes where people are going out to vote don't matter as much, whereas votes in smaller states matter more because percentage wise they have more of a voice than in bigger states. Where I don't want to say uneducated, like where educated people are, but when you look at cities
more rural,
diverse, liberal cities. Where people are going out to vote for forward movement. What? No. What were you going to say?
No.
It just, to me, it's, I think that what they should have done is what they should do. Not should have done, because that's the past. We can't change that, unfortunately. But what they should do is allocate the electoral, the votes, or themselves, the actual number. The number should be allocated based on the percentage that the candidate wins in each state. That could possibly help. Anyway, it's election. It's done. We don't have to worry about this for another fucking 4 years.
But I don't want to let him go easy.
No.
McCrory.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Back to him.
No,
please.
I just wanted to just be, you know, remember HB2 law. Remember that. Remember limiting the powers of the successor, the one he beat you. He's going to be running the state you live in. And I think it's incredibly, like, I think it's a stupid move. Like, this is the man that's going to be in charge.
It makes you look small as a person.
Incredibly small.
Yeah.
You're weak. You're afraid that this man's going to do better than you. And you know what? Go ahead. You already put those fucking restraints on him. And he's strong enough. He's going to get past those. He can do it with whatever you put on top of him.
He did something today, too, where he...
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Well, I remember, though.
I don't remember exactly what it was about, but it was about putting things in place so that HB2 would still stand.
HB2 still stands.
No, I know, but like moving forward, even with the new governor, that it would still stand. Do you know what I mean?
Like it can't be abolished.
Right. Like he's trying difficult. To put things in place where things that he has made happen won't change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you see the president of the country doing that? No. He's not undermining Trump. He's trying to create an environment which Trump will strive, which is going to be hard, and it's been a hard transition, but he's doing the right thing where Pat is not.
Well, with these sanctions on Russia, let me tell you, that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how Trump maneuvers through these.
You know how he maneuvers through there?
He's just going to undo them.
Donald J. Trump signature. Boom. It's over. That's all it takes.
With like
any executive orders that our President Barack Obama, love you, put into effect can be undone as soon as President-elect Donald Trump takes
office.
But these
are sanctions that were, like, they're not...
It's executive order. Yes.
I didn't think
that's
they were.
That's executive order. He can undo everything, which is why Putin decided not to retaliate, because Putin said, whatever. But yeah, fuck you. No, I'm not saying fuck you, President Obama. Putin is essentially saying, fuck you, President Obama. We're going to wait it out. It's only now 18 days before Trump is the new president. We'll see what he has to do.
Well, I guess we're going to have to see how this all plays out in the news.
But on a lighter note, well, semi-lighter note. Yeah. What about the grandson of Robert F. Kennedy, Connor Kennedy?
I was standing up for his gay friend, getting arrested.
How amazing was that?
Mm-hmm.
It's such a huge statement that somebody in the Kennedy family did that. Stood up for...
Well,
his,
it sends a strong message.
A huge message.
The Kennedys have always been very Catholic, very religious.
Actually,
although very liberous. Liberous. Although very liberal
cursive.
In thinking.
I was going to say it.
Cursive is fabulous. You know, they were at the forefront of the progressive movement in ensuring that, you know, that the civil rights movement moved forward. They were still very Catholic, and at that time, in that era, they were also very anti-gay. It wasn't...
Well, I mean, it was that time, though.
That was the time.
I mean, yeah.
But as you move forward, like Ted Kennedy, you know, these were individuals that really fought for our rights in the Senate, and unfortunately, he passed. And
well, so, I mean, JFK got shot because of how liberal he was. Yeah. You know, it's scary to think that that's not that long ago. It really isn't. And we're in a time now where we're in a place where you have Trump and Pence is like 35 years behind the times, if not more.
I would say more like two millennia behind the times.
It's bad, and I can't imagine, you know, as much as I'm a liberal Democrat, far left, I can't imagine somebody thinking that because somebody is gay or somebody is black or whatever, that they're less of a person than you. Because that's just not how I was raised. That's just not who I am as a person.
Well, in today's society, we should be beyond that. But unfortunately, that's not what every state advocates. And those states that don't have that type of structure in place really make it impossible for people to come out of that mentality and for generations to learn something else other than what their parents were brought up on.
Right, and that's something that bothers me. When people say, oh, well, it was the time back then, or, you know, and you're taught racism. But, you know, yeah, to a certain extent, you know, I grew up in a non-racist family, but I grew up around people that make racist comments or have prejudices toward other people. But my inner self knew that that's just wrong.
Right.
That's what pisses me off the most.
But
I wasn't
that moral compass.
But it's the moral compass. Because I wasn't taught to be tolerant. I knew that one should be tolerant.
What scares the shit out of me, I don't know if you guys saw, like, I don't know how long ago it was, but there was a video circulating Facebook about kids that were filmed, black and white, who's more beautiful, who's smart, who's all this, and all the white kids were saying that they were, and all the black kids were saying that the white kids were more beautiful. So it's so ingrained in our society that it's going to take so long to, like, literally sand the shit out of the grains that we've embedded in our society.
And you know what? 2 weeks from now, we're going to be doing a special on MLK, mm-hmm. and we're going to have Lillian Marion on the show. And I really would love to talk to her about a lot of...
you know, the issues that her culture had to face.
Her family had to face.
Or still facing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it would really, I'm really interested in knowing. I think that that's going to be a really, really awakening episode for all of us because, you know what? You have a Latino sitting at the table and two white men sitting at the table. We would never be able to really understand what racism is unless we get that perspective. So I'm really excited about that episode.
Right. You know, there's, and you can never say that you'll understand racism or anything like that. But on the other side, there is the world in which we've all experienced homophobia.
Of course, and it's very similar to racism because, you know, we have opportunities that are taken away from us and things that are denied to us.
Legally. In the United States of America.
Because mm-hmm. of who we love.
Preach, Chris. I wish, honestly, I wish people could see Chris when he gets excited about things. Like, his hands go up, they're shaking, and he's just like, in America, legally.
The Bernie hand has come out.
The Bernie hand there. It's just like, it makes, we have got to film an episode. We have to.
We should.
Yeah, eventually. Totally.
So listen, what do you think? Should we call the idiots now?
Totally. Let's we're all idiots. Might as well call them.
Yeah, good point.
Why
good
not?
Point.
Let's give them a call and see what's going on. And see here, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for calling Wildfire Radio. Ooh. In 15 seconds or less, please state your name and the topic you are calling about after the tone. Then press the pound key.
These are your favorite boys from Gay Talk 2.0, and we're calling all because we want to talk to you.
I
want
to know where my wife's at.
And we got more vodka than you.
Your husband.
Press pound.
All right, we got a phone call. Let's go to the phones right now.
Finally. It's better be us.
On with.
Don't bring him in there.
Ready to go. Welcome.
Sleeping too.
You're on with the idiots. I'm not even going to name everybody because we got like a cast of fucking Godspell here. So what's going on? How are you?
Yas queen.
Oh my. It's our boys, the Gay Talk.
Hi guys.
Hello, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So happy new queer. How are you?
Yes.
So listen, we wanted to call in and say hello because you know we've missed you guys. We haven't talked to you in quite a long time.
Tommy's been talking about those fingers for a while, though, Andy.
Yeah. You know me and Sausage.
What's going on?
Not much. We're just we're in the middle of our episode, just you know, talking and shooting the shit, and we're like, you know what? We need to talk to the idiots. We haven't talked to those boys in a while. And gals.
Yeah, we miss you. And you know what? You're calling in tonight. We got Drea on with us.
I know. We were excited about that.
Hi, Drea. How are you, darling?
I'm pretty good. What's happening?
Not much. We're just excited to know that you're in studio making sure that Andy over there is behaving.
Oh, girl. I don't want to talk about him. Let's talk about Mariah Carey.
Let's talk about Mariah Carey. Go ahead, Tom.
I'm so sorry.
I do, too. And I'm mad at everybody for making fun of her.
All right, listen.
If you've ever been on stage and had one thing happen that went wrong.
That broad is bat shit.
I will say this.
She's crazy as a bag full of fucking cats.
All right, wait. Go ahead, Tom.
She may be batshit crazy, and yes, she may have fucked up, but you can't take away from the fact that this woman holds more number one singles than any artist in history and has sold. She is the top-selling artist in history. Listen, that woman is a millionaire, and no matter what happens, she's going to come out on top. Let her fuck up over and over and over again, and all she's going to do is take your money. So you go ahead and you burn her because she's going to take your money.
And whoever's on bottom is going to pay for it.
That's right.
Tell me about it. Welcome to my fucking life.
Bottom can take it.
But in all seriousness, yeah, she fucked up, but you know what? We'll get over it.
I think
you did have to watch that show. And I did watch a goddamn show. Right. She looked like she had no idea where she was.
No, they never did a dress for her.
And when those kids of hers came around her, she looked like, oh my God, I may have to interact with them.
That's so true.
I think she was totally flustered and she was just done.
There was obviously something wrong. She didn't choose that.
I'm pretty sure.
She said, even on the live thing,
she misses Nick Cannon.
I can't hear. So
Nick
something was wrong with her ear.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. She didn't stop and say, yo, I can't hear anything.
She did.
Mariah Carey. She doesn't need to.
That I can't hear.
She should have stopped
a couple things.
In the beginning, she did stop. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to let the audience sing because I can't hear. What the fuck?
Right. It's not how I would have handled it, but I mean, I've been at shows where everything fucking goes wrong. And you can't tell me
I have.
And you've done it.
I also tossed the microphone and pissed off the owner of the club, threw the microphone down, and just was me loud.
Yeah, that's the difference.
But
Andy wins friends and influences people all the time by ruining. I'm going to trash the place. That's how she should have handled it.
Wait, because this isn't fair. I already had it out with Tom over this already earlier.
But Joanne,
so he's dating me with this whole conversation.
Joanne said it right, though. It had it been Andy, Julia, and had we had some malfunction on your microphones or your sound, you would have destroyed the theater. And brought that shit down to the ground.
Exactly.
And all the Chinese people would say, "Oh, Godzilla!"
Andy is the biggest diva in the world.
I'm just happy I'm not the one who sounds racist today.
And all
Andy is just the most diva of all time.
Exactly.
He probably makes them pick out the brown M&Ms in his backstage green room.
Jim, does everything run nice?
My rider is wrong.
Runs great.
And even though I'm a diva.
Yeah.
And you're racist.
Yeah, to be fair, he's holding Jim's kid captive right now. Everything's good, right, Jim? Yeah, just not like the baby.
Oh, whatever. Anyway.
How many people are in studio now?
Yeah, I know.
About 1,000. Seven of us. There's seven of us.
I do agree with you,
Andy,
though.
And a half.
I feel like she should have just been like...
Smell?
Oh,
wait,
is my wife there?
Tom. Go ahead. What were you
I was just saying that I do agree with you. She should have just been like, hold the fucking phone. Get my backup dancers, put those feathers around me again until you fix the fucking problem. Cut to commercial. We'll be back. Come on. It's Mariah Carey.
She could have.
They could have went right to Seacrest. He's like, you know,
yeah,
that,
they should have.
Always on that.
That was,
you know
that
I mean?
Was bad producing, honestly, even if she was fucking up by herself,
right.
As a producer, I would be like, oh, this is terrible. Cut away and go to Ryan Seacrest.
It happened
wait a minute.
I saw
it was beautiful.
There was
the
Grammys. There was a Grammy. The Grammy Awards. And Sinead O'Connor couldn't hear. She popped her earbuds out. They cut and went to whoever the host was at the time.
Right, and fixed it.
And
Ryan Seacrest is tits on a bull.
Andy.
Yeah, what are you on drugs?
I'm serious. He's a fucking moron.
I just don't fuck that. He's a moron.
Yes.
I still think he's gay.
Not a moron.
He's the smartest moron in the world.
Oh, my God almighty. I could do that shit better than anybody.
Oh, my God.
Do you know who you're fucking talking to? Nicky, stick up for me, buddy. Nick, stick up for me there, baby.
Anyway, listen, first of all,
is that
smart?
Oh, my God.
This is why we love the Idiots Radio. The F-bombs that they throw down are legendary.
You're fucking nuts now. Seriously.
Right, did anybody else see Jenny McCarthy's plastic face? Yeah, what's up with that?
No, I didn't see that.
I think he's a little Botox injected.
Isn't that everyone in
his face has absolutely no expression.
Oh, Mimi. Mimi, by the way, we want to officially say hello.
You're jealous.
I am. I've
heard a lot about you.
Oh, I listen to you every week, honey. I love your stories. Please take me to Cancun. I'll lay you.
You
I don't
have
care.
No idea. I could spend hours on end.
I'm a gay boy, but I'll lay you if you take me to Cancun.
I want to talk to you about that boyfriend who high and dried you. That motherfucker got to get cut.
I've turned people before, so I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Oh, wow.
Not you, Chris. I'm just saying.
But then they always go back.
So listen, guys, I know that you guys got a lot of people in studio and a lot of time that you got to get to.
Yes,
we don't want to keep you. We love you. We just wanted to call and say Happy New Year from the guys here at Gay Talk.
Happy New Year. Schmo, thanks for the...
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year.
We love you. I'll talk to you at some point. I'll say something stupid and Tom will rip you up for it.
What's up?
Chris, be careful in Germany, buddy.
Thank you, man. Thanks for the shout-outs.
You got it, buddy.
All right,
take care of yourselves and, if you're over there on a Monday night when the radio show's on, give us a call. We'll put you in through live.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good.
All right, guys.
All right.
All right. Take care.
We love you all.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Bye, guys.
Leave Mariah Carey alone. Oh, they hung up on us. Anyway. that was the Idiots. This is why.
They're crazy.
We have to be prepared to talk to them because when they get together, they're like a whole group of just badass motherfucking
comedians. While we were listening, they were like, you put three comedians in a room, they'll burn whoever the fuck they want, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're hilarious.
And the lovely thing is that they're part of a an internet radio show, which is Wildfire Radio, so they don't have to sort of kind of censor. They can just say whatever the fuck they want, just like we can.
You know, because, you know, we're not on the airwaves. We're a pre-recorded show, and we put it out to our listeners who know exactly what to expect, that we are explicit. So anyway, thank you to the idiots for taking our call. It's amazing to yell over them.
And you know what, Schmo? I love Schmo.
Schmo is amazing.
We love them all, but like Schmo is the one who reaches out to us all the time. Like,
he does.
We're, you know,
Happy New Year, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. And he's been reaching out to me. He's like, oh, my little German, have fun out there, be safe. Like, I just so appreciate
it.
Well,
I'd like to, if you guys allow me, read a little something that Schmo sent over. Okay, then.
I'm kidding.
So what he said he goes, Happy New Year to me. And he said, I said it before and I'll say it again. But he was talking about the group. He goes, I love you guys so much. I actually sent my boo, Nikki Trish, a similar message about how much you guys have changed me. I am so much a better person because of you guys in my life and as my friends.
Aw.
Be good,
bro. That's so sweet.
And this is coming from a straight man. And for us, to me, That is my goal, to educate someone and say, hey, listen, we don't want to fuck you. We don't want to touch you in an appropriate way. Well, maybe. We don't want to touch you in an appropriate way. We understand that you're straight and we're gay. We understand that we're on two different spectrums, but we want to be your friend.
Right. And I think a lot of people, too, that don't know gay people have prejudices because they don't understand who we are. I mean, I tell you, I meet homophobic people all the time. And after having a conversation with them, they're like, oh, gay people are cool. Great.
Wait, you're a person?
Yeah.
I did not know you were a person kind of thing.
I see what you're saying.
I was not being mean to Nick,
I just had a blonde moment because I thought you were being mean to me.
I was like...
No, but you're right. Yeah. You're right. It's like, oh, yeah, you're just a person.
Yeah.
You're a person, I'm a person. And what happens in your bedroom or in the kitchen or in the laundry room or sometimes in public or sometimes in... bathrooms at the movie theater.
Everywhere.
Doesn't affect me.
No, overall, I will say this. You know, we are new to this medium of, you know, doing conversational radio. And they were one of the first people in the profession to embrace us and give us an opportunity and a shot. And so we're forever grateful. And it's great. It's a great thing.
Yes, Queen.
You know, yes.
I really appreciate them. I mean, you know... Honestly, when they reached out to us and we went down there for the first time, it was the first time that I felt like, because I loved every episode we did up until that point. But when we went there, I was like, oh, this is real. We're doing this. We're reaching people that we've never reached before. We're talking to people and it's creating a community. It's really, the podcast world is a community. They have, you know, what are those things? Conferences and stuff like that, which we need to start doing, but we'll talk about that. But.
Well, I mean, 2017 is definitely going to be the year that we start branching out and doing some things, and I'm super excited about it. But, you know, we met a lot of great people. We have had Ike Valley, we've had Dre Richard, so many people that we've met as a result of our relationship with the Idiots Radio. So, you know, we're thankful.
Totally.
Yeah. And if you guys want to check them out, they're also available on iTunes. You can just go right to iTunes, type in the Idiots Radio, and they have that little hello, my name is, and you'll see Ray Anthony and Andy Julia. But, you know, you also get Mimi and you get Joanne Siriganakis, which to me, that's my soul sister right there.
I just love listening to her.
She's got an amazing voice, doesn't she? So, and, you know, you got Shmo the intern, of course, which is your husband. You keep saying wife, but really, he's your husband because you're the wife.
And
it's all that good stuff. Anyway. So we've got a couple of more stories that we could probably hit before we have to put a rubber on this because
Chris, you're the wife.
like, let's be real.
Everybody who listens to the episode knows that I'm the wife. I'm the bottom. I know. It's fine. Get over it. Okay, moving on.
So
is your name Steve? I'll bottom for you. Let's go. Moving on.
Can I talk about Julie Newmar?
Please.
Oh, my God. All right. So for those of you who don't know, for the newer generation.
I don't know who that
Julie
is.
Julie Newmar.
Oh, and you had to say newer generation.
Julie Newmar is the original Catwoman. She played Catwoman in the 60s, back in the 50s and 60s in Batman. She was the original Catwoman before Arthur Kitt, before anybody.
When the screen would be tilted when you're in the bad guys.
When they went wham, bam, boom, bam, all that good
stuff. Adam West.
That's where I got Holy Hole in a Donut, Batman.
Yeah, hello.
You got Holy Hole a lot of
Holy
other places.
Holy Hole in Trish. That's what it was. No, but let me tell you,
set it up.
This woman.
Yeah, it's your own damn fault. Sorry, go ahead, Tom.
This woman is absolutely stupid. stunning, and she's always been. She's always been a beauty. But anyway, her and her brother, John Neumeier, I think she had her name changed, sort of like a stage name, because hers is Neumar, but his is Neumeier. So I'm thinking that her last name must have been Neumeier at one point in time, and she had it changed over to Neumar for professional reasons.
Probably.
But, you know, she and John have been working on, or John has been working on projects and at the forefront of a lot of HIV and AIDS advocacy groups for many years. He's a doctor. And Julie provides a lot of the entertainment when it comes to the work that she does with her brother, but she says that it's equally as rewarding. And she has lost many friends to the epidemic, AIDS, throughout her many years in show business. And, you know, she's just doing wonderful things with him. And a lot of people don't realize. You have a question, honey?
Yeah, I don't know. Is her brother gay?
I don't know if he is. I really don't. But okay. I know that I was like, oh, he's a very handsome silver fox.
That's another white-haired man.
Mm-hmm. And very cute, too.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she has a son. She has a son who's been living with her because she was married between 1977 and 84. And her son, John, he's 35 years old, and he's living with Down syndrome. He's also deaf and mute. She's into...
That
gardening.
Is a handful.
Yes, it is.
Power to you, girl.
She's into gardening, and so she designed a garden for him and for her, of course, to retreat and ponder and talk about, you know, or remember all the people that she's lost to HIV and AIDS. But anyway, I wanted to bring up the fact that she had a son with Down syndrome just to show you the type of person that she is. She's living with her child at home. He's 35 years old. He's not a child anymore, but it just goes to show you her commitment to humanity. Mm-hmm. And she's always been that way. So the fact that she's working with her brother to, you know, bring out his efforts in advocacy for AIDS and HIV is huge, because it just goes to show you here's another legendary person that has been with us forever, just working with our community and really embracing it.
You know what's amazing, too? I mean, not to change the subject, but Neil Patrick Harris was on The View a couple weeks ago, and he has paired with Red, which is obviously an HIV and AIDS
group. Initiative.
Yeah, yeah, that helps reach out to third world countries, so on and so forth. But he was talking on The View about how Coca-Cola is distributed to all of these countries, and now Coke is taking an initiative to not only distribute Coca-Cola, I can't say Coke.
I know.
Feel weird every time I say Coke.
Cocaine, I'm
Coca-Cola,
sorry.
But also education on HIV and AIDS prevention and medicine to all of these nations. And he's actually doing a campaign right now where you can donate for the chance to go have dinner with him and his husband and see a Broadway show. And he'll fly you out to New York and all that stuff. But I mean, people are really making a huge move and a huge push to make the AIDS epidemic and worldwide, which is amazing.
Which is good. Yeah. Apple is another company that's part of that Red program.
So is Belvedere.
Yep.
Belvedere, of course. Belvedere is actually donating 50%. There's a sign at Partners.
Yep.
I worked there.
We had an event for Belvedere. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, I know that I was a little vague as far as what Julie Newmark's involvement is in the actual, you know, process that her brother and her do, but there is an article, and if you guys want to read up on the entire process or in itself, I was just happy to see someone so legendary be so active in any initiative that helps the
Y'all should have seen him last night. It was karaoke. So we get magazines. we get magazines that are sent to the bar, mm-hmm. and we put them out at the bar. And he walks up to me and he hands me a magazine. He's like, "Can you put this with my coat, my jacket? I need to read this. I need to save this. I need to know all about this." I'm like, "Who is that?" That's Catwoman, the original Catwoman. I was just like, "Oh my God, Tommy, put the Corona down. What are you talking about?"
A movie.
He got so excited.
Okay, so did you guys remember Tu Wong Fu?
No,
I never saw that.
Tu Wong Fu with Patrick Swayze, John Leguizamo, Wesley Snipes dress up the drag queens.
I've heard of the movie. I've never seen it.
Okay, well, the entire title of that movie is Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Oh.
So Julie Newmar was the picture that was behind Vita Boheme, which was Patrick Swayze's character. And when he looks in the mirror to touch up his makeup, he looks back and he's like, "Oh my God. This entire time, the incomparable, the one, the only, Julie Newmar has been watching over this entire conversation." this whole time, this is a sign, ladies. We must take this with us on our voyage. And she just grabs the picture and just stuffs it in her jacket and says, okay, well, this is mine now. But on the picture, it says, to Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmark. So, and then at the end, when Chi-Chi Rodriguez gets crowned as the winner of the Drag Queen of the Year, Julie Newmark comes out in the movie and crowns her.
Aw.
Amazing. So, anyway, so... if you guys want to read the article, you can just go right to aumag.org. The article was actually written by Dan Doolin and Hank Trout for aumag.org. So feel free to check it out and educate yourself a little bit on what Julie Newmark does and who she is and her brother. Amazing.
Yeah.
What else, boys?
You want me to go?
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. So some positive public gay visibility.
Yes, queen.
So I always talk about the random like things that pop up where, you know, there's a gay couple in a commercial or this or that, but there's been a couple of things that I think are important to talk about.
So many though.
I only have a couple, but, so Thomas Cook, which is a UK travel company, featured a gay family in a commercial for their travel company, which is, it's amazing.
I thought that was so cute.
Two men kissing in it. You have them with three kids, and then of course there were of course heterosexual couples and whatnot, but the amazing thing about that is they're now being inclusive and showing what a family really can be and what families really are, whether it's the normal or what society deems as normal. And today what really is becoming a family is love. It's about love. It's about mm-hmm. who you want in your life. Now, and this
was the same article by Glenn Gardner, right? The one that I read. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now I remember what you... Go ahead. Sorry.
But if you want to find out more about it, you can go on the advocate.com. They have the little commercial there. You can watch it. It's adorable. It's a UK travel company, and they were amazing. Now, in other news, a New York subway station is featuring a mural of a gay couple. And it's not your typical gay couple, and that's why I like it so much, because you see a gay couple in public, or you see all of like society's norms where people are thin and beautiful and perfect.
The stereotypical gay, flamboyant queen, skinny abs.
Exactly. These guys are beautiful men that just love each other. And you have, they're dressed in flannel and overalls, and they're just.
They look like lumberjacks or fishermen.
Yeah. They're just going somewhere. But the Second Avenue subway will finally be opening, and it will be a mural in the Second Avenue subway station, which again is amazing. But I think there's a lot more murals than just this cursive.
I am looking forward to the next, you know, I would say probably 10 or 15 years to see how, because, you know, when you shine a light on something, and just to see how humanity transforms.
Right. Because most of society would never imagine, like, if you saw this couple walking through wherever, you would never imagine them as a couple. They would just be honestly, what you said, lumberjacks doing whatever they're doing. But these guys are a couple, they've been a couple, and these are the things that in these next 4 years are so important, so that we're still visible, we're still loud, we're still proud, and we're still showing that we love each other, we care about each other, and we're moving forward, and we aren't going to hide. So them doing this, even though it's not your typical image in commercial, whatever.
I just think it's the best image, to be honest with you, because it just shows you that, you know,
these are real American men that love each other.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly
and
it.
That's,
it's just people, yeah.
Yep.
You know, the mayor of New York City has been open that he's not going to sit back, and nor will the residents of New York City sit back and be put down by New York's own Donald Trump, the elect.
They're ready, the president-elect, to literally go in and just disobey any regulations or anything that comes from Washington that
it's not
will
even,
put in jeopardy the liberties of the LGBT community.
It's not even disobey. It's stand up against.
Mm-hmm.
Disobey, I think, is the wrong word.
It's a sanctuary city.
Yeah, it is. And they're going to stand there, and they're going to be resilient, just as New Yorkers have always been.
I think New Haven is the same, too.
It is. It's these tight communities. And yeah, New Haven's a lot smaller than New York. But these people are willing to stand up and say, no, you will not. We will not allow hate.
Cut our funding. Because you know how much money New York brings into this world?
To the United States. The world and the U.S.
Yeah.
No,
that's one of the few things that I admire about our our current mayor in New Haven. I don't see eye to eye with a lot of the things that she does, but you know, the fact that she's really going out there for our community, and the fact that she's you know, promoting our community and coming into City Hall and celebrating Pride during Pride Month and doing all that good stuff, it shows a different side of her, which I appreciate. But you know, just wanted to throw that out there. And I think that it would be constructive to our movement to have people like that on the show and call in. So to Mayor Harp, if you ever want to call in to Gay Talk 2.0, or being that you're in the city, come in the studio and have a chat with us gay boys. We'll have you.
Hell yeah, we will.
Why not?
When in Rome.
Why not? So listen, we'd like to wrap things up. I have a baby I'm nursing. My little baby had surgery today. Mm-hmm. My little Oliver, my doggy.
Trish got neutered.
Yeah.
I mean, spayed. Trish got spayed.
Oh, no, cut her mic off.
You said it right the first time. He got neutered.
I know. I know. He was making fun of me.
Oh, wait. No. We said it wrong. He got spayed.
He got spayed. Exactly.
You know what? Slice. Fuck both of you.
I know.
Fuck
no,
both of
but
you.
Seriously.
No. I'm not done. You want to wrap up the show? I'm not done. I got one more thing to talk about. How about that? Well, after my spading.
Well, let me talk about my baby, though.
Spaying.
She got her teeth pulled.
She did. Well,
she was fucked up when we got here.
Her baby canines never fell out, so I had to have them extracted. And let me tell you, she was gone. My poor baby. But I love him.
But it was amazing. I got here. I picked up Oliver, and he just
looked.
Laid. He was like, thank you for holding me. Thank you. And then I pick up Fitz, and he's like, get out of my mouth. He's trying to lick my face. I'm like, I like them when they're stoned.
Yeah, Oliver was awesome. Like, Oliver was just so timid and just like, hey, and his little tail, like little tail.
He's got a stub.
Is just like wobbling around, and then Fitz is legit climbing up me.
I do have to mention this. I do not approve of people cutting their dogs' tails off, or even breeders doing it for looks. So when I got Fitz, I made sure that the breeder or the person that I got it from did not cut Fitz's tail off. Unfortunately, by the time I got to Oliver, it had already been done, which is why I have one dog with a tail and the other one without one. So, and they're both Yorkies, and typically Yorkies get their tails cut off. I don't like that.
Yeah, but I grew up with Springer Spaniels, and they cut their tails because they're hunting dogs. So when they're going through the brush and all that,
Was the last time you took your Spaniel hunting?
Well, he's dead. But before that, he used to go hunting often.
Okay, well, I mean, did it really make a difference?
No, I'm not arguing. Oh, yeah. Because they're not getting caught in thorns and all that shit.
Okay, well, stop making them go hunting. It's so sad. I don't want to get my fucking dick cut off or, you know. Anyway.
I'm like, what? Wait a minute.
Peter would so appreciate this this segment. But anyway, go. I'm sorry. I cut you off. You have another story.
Well, it's not really a story, but I did want to plug a movie that I'm really excited about.
Ooh.
So James Franco and Zachary Quinto.
The amazing James Franco and Zachary. He was actually part of
American Horror Story.
Yes, but also in Heroes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was great
in
Heroes.
He was amazing in Heroes.
Obviously, Zachary Quinto is out and gay and proud and whatnot. But so they have a movie coming out called I Am Michael. And if you haven't seen the trailer, you need to watch the trailer. It's so amazing. So it's about this couple that meets in like the time of basically almost right when the AIDS crisis started, and they're fighting for their rights and they're trying to be open and fight against all the Christian norms. Mm-hmm. And the role that James Franco is playing, somehow decides that he will pray away the gay. And then you see his arc and his fight where he's trying to be with a woman over Zachary Quinto and where it takes you as a person, because obviously you can't get rid of something that's so you can't.
I tried.
I mean, maybe some people can, but I know for a fucking fact,
I tried.
Nobody's praying any gay out of me.
I tried. I sang in choir for years. I would pray to God every day, take this away from me.
Right.
And then finally,
I said the same thing. I used to lay in bed at night and be like, of all the people in the world, God, this can't be me. Why me? Why me?
No,
I remember before I came out saying that.
It wasn't about why me. It was just like, I don't want to feel this way. This is wrong. People keep telling me this is wrong. Take it away.
Right.
And I'm like, finally, I was like 14 years old. I was like, okay, well, I've been praying for the same thing for like
9 years now.
Let me try to suck a dick and see what that's like.
Nothing is happening, so I guess I will continue to do what I'm doing, and I'm okay with it. And eventually, I just came to the conclusion that, you know what? I was born this way.
But I think what's amazing about this movie is it's giving a voice to what coming out of the closet actually looks like, and what trying to repress something actually looks like, and how that makes one person feel, and why suicide is so huge in our community.
And especially around that time frame. You know, when you think about early 80s, 83, 84, that was the discovery, okay? That's when the majority of the cases were just starting to flood in all of a sudden with people with HIV and AIDS, because, you know, people didn't know that they had HIV, and all of a sudden now they were coming into the hospitals with full-blown AIDS because they didn't know.
Right.
And when you look at movies like this, this is going to be amazing because it just gives you a really good idea of what people went through. I've said this to you guys before. Watch And the Band Played On. It really it gives you a breakdown of how they try to sort of kind of like target, okay, who is our host? And how do we, like, they literally took this whole epidemic thing and try to break it down, and they just got way beyond their reach. They could never even figure out who the original person was that brought it into the city or into the States. And it's such a great movie. So to see another movie like this and to talk about relationships, especially around that time, I want to see this. When does it come out? Do we know?
I don't have the date. No, I do not have the date.
Okay. So we'll have to...
Homework.
Well, we'll have to watch that space and, you know, figure out what happens and see when we can actually get our hands on it.
Totally excited. We'll see.
I'm super excited.
Yeah.
And it's James Franco. Hello.
You know what?
And Zachary. Of course. He's
That's hot. What I'm talking about.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Speaking of gay sex.
Gay sex.
Let's throw a rubber on it.
Yeah, let's put a rubber on it. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to remind everyone before we go that I'd like to say and let you all know, those of you... who have already know, but those who don't, we are on Patreon.
I'm sorry. She'll get there. She'll get there.
I tried so hard not to laugh.
I just want to mention that
they make fun of
he's just reading from a script right now.
Because here's the thing.
Tally it up.
Thank you. Normally, I write out my own scripts. Today, Trish took it upon herself to doctor up the scripts. Horribly, I must say.
I did not do it horribly.
Horribly. And so when you change it up on me, I get fucked up. And
I didn't change anything but the last sentence. You were doing the first sentence. The first sentence.
No.
It is not even that long.
I'm going to start over again, okay?
Please.
Before we go, I'd like to remind you all that we are on Patreon. Patreon is a service that allows our subscribers to be a part of our success. And using the service, our listeners can help us by donating to the show. That's all I'm going to say. And if you want more information, go to our website, gaytalk20.com, click on the Patreon sign, and it'll literally take you to where you need to go and find out all the wonderful information about this program and how you can help.
She's such a bitch.
I know.
That's all I'm going to say. Two sentences later.
If you rewrite it for me, I will do it my way. Go.
Oh, my turn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's sad. I'm going to be leaving the studio, guys.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah.
I even got her a nice little... I got her a nice little adapter so she can adapt.
Uncle Tommy, he bought me an adapter so I can plug my laptop and all that stuff and so it can work in the European outlets. But at the end, you know, I want to thank you guys for listening to us very much. I'm just going away for a little bit. I'll be calling in and... I'm going to miss being in the studio with you guys.
More importantly, that's the reason why I got her the adapter, so she can call in.
We're going to miss you a lot.
You mean
Chris.
I'm not getting fired?
We're going to miss you so much.
I'm going to miss you guys.
No, we're going to miss having you in studio. Are you kidding me? Trish is over there wondering whose leg she's going to be rubbing up on.
I know. But you know what? Like, I'll leave you guys with this. There's only one thing I'm going to miss more than being in the studio.
What?
My squatty potty.
That's a good place to leave it.
But wait a minute. Can't you get one in Europe? Don't they have like squatty potties there?
Yeah, but I'm just going to like throw my suitcase on the floor in front of the toilet. I'm not going to fucking buy a squatty potty and leave it there.
Once you have a squatty potty, you can't go to the bathroom with anything other than...
You have no idea how hard it was in Europe. I'm like, no, there's more. There's more, but it's not working.
Oh my God.
But why don't you just like tie like, you know... Empty out some cans.
Shoe boxes.
Or shoe boxes and just go to town.
I'm just going to tie balloons to my ankle. until they float up high enough. There we go. Yeah. All right, enough about my pooping.
Or just literally just put your feet on the seat and then just squat. Pop the seat lid up and just go to town. It's okay.
Trish?
So speaking of Chris being away from us for a bit and pooping without a squatty potty, we have decided that we're going to, by next week, we're going to start by inviting some guest hosts on to help us dish while he's away. He might call in. He might not. We'll see. But first up is Michael Buckley's returning to the show.
I love that he's coming back because he's so great.
Yes. You know?
And he really brings a different flavor.
A flavor, a fire. He's just great.
He's just fiery.
Yeah, and he's fun.
Absolutely.
And he brings a perspective that you would never think of.
You know what I love best about him? His wit. He's very witty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talent. It takes talent to be
witty. She's on point.
Yes. So we love him.
So we're so excited about our upcoming guest hosts. So stay tuned because we have a great lineup this month.
Absolutely.
And a burp. Oh. All right, guys. So you know our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It's also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
What's going on, bitches?
Nick announces.
He was ready for it.
You can find us on social media, Facebook at Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram at Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20, email us at GayTalk 2.0 at gmail.com.
I keep forgetting that I could actually cut that shit out. Edit! I'm kidding. No, anyway, you can also contact us by visiting our website, gaytalk20.com, under Contact Us tab. Here, you can actually leave us a comment or a suggestion. You can also submit a question for the cast or an individual host. And you can also leave us a question via voicemail so that the cast can answer on the show for you by calling 334-GATE-TALK. And again, that number is 334-429-8255.
It works. I've called it.
It does. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you all again, wishing you all a happy and prosperous new year. Thank you, and
auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.